All right, we're going to start today in Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to talk about baptism, and does it have a place in the dispensation of the grace of God? In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loin, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, we're going to talk today about water baptism. And I understand today that most all of religion, all denominations that I know anything about, practice baptism in some shape, form, or fashion. Some believe that baptism is sprinkling. Others believe that baptism is dunking. And those that believe that it's dunking, some say that you have to dunk him first face down. Others say you got to dunk him backwards. Others say you got to dunk him three times in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And those that sprinkle have all different means of doing that. And so there's a lot of different ideas about baptism. But one thing I find common in relation to the word baptism is that generally when people hear the word used, the first thing they think about is water. And so the reason I wanted to do this study today is because we need to understand that when we see the word baptism in the Bible, it's not always talking about water. Now, if you go to a Greek dictionary, you can look up the root word of baptism. And there's two or three words that are translated baptism, and they have multiple meanings. But generally, it means to immerse, to submerge, to overwhelm, to fully cover, to moisten a part of the body. In some places, it means to dip. Different meanings of the word in the Greek, and so we're not going to spend a lot of time with that. But if you want to look up in concordance, you can do so. But the point is the Bible generally identifies what baptism it's talking about when it mentions the word baptism. For example, John here, as he came forth preaching this baptism of repentance, he asked the question in verse 6, it says, they were baptized of him in Jordan confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, here we know specifically that we're talking about water baptism. Because he says there that he went down about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan. So they were in the river. So he didn't take them down there to baptize them with the Holy Ghost. He didn't take them down there to baptize them with fire. He took them down into water to baptize them with water. And so it's talking about water baptism. But every time you see baptism in the Bible, it's not always talking about water. As a matter of fact, right here in Matthew chapter 3, there are three baptisms mentioned. He says there in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So there's three baptisms right there. There is the water baptism, there's the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and there's the baptism with fire. And all of those baptisms are outlined in your Bible. We're not going to take time to turn to all the verses. But you need to understand, for example, the Holy Ghost baptism. Hold on here and look over in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ mentions there in verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what took place in Acts chapter 2. The baptism with water is what took place that John was preaching, and also with Peter, James, and John in the book of Acts, they're practicing water baptism after that they're filled with the Holy Ghost. But there's the baptism of fire. Now, much of religion today identifies that as some kind of outward sign of the Holy Spirit. You know, they're talking about being fire baptized. Well, let me tell you something. You have never met anybody in your life that has been fire baptized. Because that baptism is yet a future baptism that has to do with judgment. And you can read about that in Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You can read about it in Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Matthew 24, verses 40 through 41. I just was giving you those references so we don't have to take time to turn there. But the point is that there are three separate baptisms there. There's even more than that. Look over, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the spiritual meat." The word there is simply used as a means of identification. That is, that they were united to Moses. They became one with him. They were identified with him. Notice what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 13. He says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now that is the baptism that is associated with the church, the body of Christ. Water baptism is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You notice in that verse, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized." A person, when they are saved today, is not baptized with the Holy Ghost as they were in Acts chapter 2 when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues as an outward evidence of having received the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Spirit of God and are sealed by the Spirit of God the moment you believe, but you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost as Israel was. As a matter of fact, all the baptisms in your Bible, except for Spirit baptism, are associated with the nation Israel. And that's why there's so much confusion today. It's like every other issue in the Bible. To rightly understand each issue in the Bible, we have to understand that we are to rightly divide the Word of Truth. The reason there's so much confusion today in the religious world is because people do not distinguish between the doctrine for the nation Israel and the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Water baptism was a very important element and a very important issue as far as the nation Israel was concerned. And it had to do with a ceremonial cleansing. Look, if you will, over in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. And by the way, water baptism was not a New Testament ordinance. It was not a New Testament. It was not established in the New Testament. Did you notice what John asked those people that came to his baptism? "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" They understood there was something going on there. Look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, in verse 21, they ask him, talking about John the Baptist, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Well, then they must have expected someone to come forth baptizing for them to ask that question, wouldn't they? Yes, they expected water baptism, and they knew it had to do with a ceremonial cleansing that was associated with the priesthood. Look over in John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, in verse 6, And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Keep that word purifying in mind. Look over in chapter 3. In John chapter 3, notice there in verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about what? Purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes all men, and all men come to him. Now, there's something that people need to understand in order to really understand this issue of water baptism, what it's all about, and what's going on in the Scriptures. Number one, we see that John came forth baptizing. The people thought that he was Elias, and he would have been had they accepted the Messiah, according to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus Christ was baptized. Somebody asked one time, man, why Jesus was baptized, and he said to wash away his sins. No, Jesus was baptized to identify with the nation Israel, and he said to fulfill all righteousness. Now, there's something that's very important that we need to understand. Israel was God's chosen people to bring about salvation upon this earth. If you will, go back and look in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. See, people think, well, Paul was the first person to minister Gentiles. No, there was always Gentile salvation that was going to be available. But it was going to come through the nation Israel. God simply chose Israel to be His people, and He said that they were going to be a kingdom of priests. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the who? The children of Israel. Well, you see, they already had a tribe that was of the tribe of Levi that was a priestly tribe. But he said unto the nation that you're going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Turn over, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. In Isaiah 61, and if you can't keep up with these, just hang on and you can listen to it again later. But I've got to move fast. Isaiah 61, verse 6. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Look over, if you will, in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter is talking to those that were saved under his ministry. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 5, he said, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So the whole nation was to become a priesthood, and then they were to carry out that great commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them to believe. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. All that scriptural, all that was to be carried out, and it was to be carried out by the nation Israel, by the 12 that Jesus Christ sent forth, and by those that became believers through the ministry of the 12. Now, with that priesthood, there was something associated with that. Look back in Exodus again. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 19. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. Look over in chapter 40. Notice the washings. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 12. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. Look, if you will, over in Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8, verse 7. And thus shall you do unto... Look at verse 6. Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shall you do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of what? Purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Look over Numbers chapter 19. Numbers 19. Verse 7. Or verse 6. The priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the hot heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. You see, there was always with the priesthood this ceremonial cleansing of purification. Now just stop and think about it. Just use common sense. If the whole nation was going to be a priesthood and was going to apply the same rules that were applied in the Old Testament, then it stands to reason that there would be a washing, if you will, which that's exactly what water baptism turned out to be, as in John chapter 2, as in John chapter 3, the purifying of the nation Israel as a kingdom of priests to go forward and to minister to the nations the doctrine of the kingdom. The king has come. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The problem is that they did that up until about Acts chapter 7. Christ taught them all about that during his earthly ministry. And then they did that, the 12 did that in the book of Acts. Look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. In Acts 2, verse 36, after they've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, Peter's preaching, and notice who his audience is. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And notice the instruction. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive, what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. The water baptism there was for repentance and remission of sins. It was the same washing that started back there in Matthew chapter 3 with John. It's the same washing we read about in John chapter 1, verse 25. It's the purification that they were talking about in John chapter 3. And on the, I mean, listen, folks, it is clear that water baptism was of tremendous importance and extremely significant with the nation Israel. As a matter of fact, every commission that the Lord gave them included that of water baptism. But you know something? We know that the Apostle Paul, who is the Apostle of the Gentiles, was not operating under that same commission as were the 12. How do we know that? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now before I read this, understand that I know that Paul baptized some people. Said he did here. But there's a difference in baptizing some people so that you would not be an offense to the nation Israel and the baptism being part of your commission. In other words, when Christ sent the 12 out in Matthew 28, Mark chapter 16, and he commands them specifically to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them that believe, it is not optional. It's not something that you do on Sunday night, you know, with put on your white shirt and everything, go down the tank. It was not optional. It was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, identification with Israel, a ceremonial cleansing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Then Paul could not have been operating under the same commission as were the 12 because they were sent to baptize. Now, why did Paul say that? Well, we read the verse earlier. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And notice there in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now, the Bible does not say, "In the same Spirit are we all baptized." There are Bibles that say that. Our Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Who is the baptizer in the verse? It's the Spirit. The Spirit of God baptizes people by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, there's something that's very significant. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Paul, our apostle, wrote 13 epistles. Those 13 epistles are Romans through Philemon. Paul said that he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, "Be ye followers of me as I am also of Christ." He identified the gospel he's preached as my gospel three different times. He identified that gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're all called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling." Now notice, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Did you see that? How many baptisms? One baptism. How many did you read about in Matthew chapter 3? Three baptisms. We added another one in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Baptized unto Moses. That's four. Paul said today there's only one baptism. Well, how in the world are you going to explain that without changing up the Word of God unless you rightly divide the Word of truth and understand the distinctive ministry given to our apostle, the Apostle Paul? Listen, folks, when he said there's only one baptism, there's only one baptism for the church, the body of Christ. Oliver B. Green, one of the greatest preachers I ever heard on radio, used to listen to him every morning at 10 o'clock back in the 70s and early 80s, was a Baptist preacher. And I heard Oliver B. Green answer the question. Somebody asked him. They said, Brother Green, he took calls. And somebody called in and said, I wanted to ask you something. Said, what is the baptism of Ephesians chapter 4? Is it water baptism? What is the one baptism? Is it water baptism or spirit baptism? He said, it's spirit baptism. They said, well, then why do you baptize with water? And he had that old gravelly voice, and he said, because I'm a Baptist. He was honest. He knew what the one baptism was, folks. He knew it was spirit baptism. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That baptism takes place the moment you believe. People used to ask me and find out where I went to church or what I associated with. Well, I heard your church don't believe in baptism. I said, oh yeah, we believe in baptism. You do? Well, I heard y'all filled up your baptismal tank with toilet paper and stuff. I said, we did. But you said you believe in baptism. I said, I do. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You know what's great about that baptism? Nobody has to touch you. Nobody has to put you in a tank of water, pour anything on your head, or anything else. Why? Because that's spirit baptism. And listen, for Paul to say there's just one baptism is to say that today in the dispensation of grace, there's just one baptism. There are multiple baptisms in the Bible. There are multiple baptisms associated with the nation Israel. But as far as the church, the body of Christ is concerned, there is only one baptism, because we will never experience that baptism of fire or judgment that Paul's talking about, or that John was talking about. Because we're safe, we're saved, and we're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question would be for people today is, have you been baptized? Not with water, but by the Spirit of God. Is there a day in your life when the Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ? And at the moment He baptized you there, you were sealed unto the day of redemption, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you today, it's not about joining the church. It's not about getting baptized. It's not about repeating prayers. It's not about coming to an old-fashioned altar. You might do a lot of those things and think of salvation, but salvation is when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He hung on a cross and became your sin. And when He hung on that cross, He died for your sins. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you've never trusted that, I invite you today to do that. And the moment you do that, you'll experience a baptism that nobody will see. Unless you tell people about it, they won't even know about it. That's the baptism of Ephesians chapter 4. That's the one baptism, and that's the only one that matters today in the dispensation of grace.